Bill, this is just terrible news. Sam Nation's show has a competitor. Did you hear this? Mediaite's reporting that Hillary Clinton's reportedly set to launch a podcast. So I suppose if hospitals ever run out of propofol, they'll be able to put on the Hillary Clinton show and put people right to sleep. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Happy Thursday, doing the show a day early this week, getting ready for the weekend here. Producer Robbie and Dr. Audio in the his house. We also have my wonderful law partner. Where is she? Ashley Watkins in the comfy chair. Ash, good to have you in the Sam Nation studios. And we're having great fun here in Nevada. Those of you who've been following the saga, or saga, depending on how you pronounce it, I'll tell you. Many of you follow this program from outside of the great state of Nevada. And to those of you who've known me back in the California days, perhaps you're still among the liberals, and so are somewhere perhaps in Santa Monica or west side of Los Angeles, and are having to very carefully interlope among your neighbors without tipping them off to your particular form of ideology. I have to say, a friend of mine here showed me a photo the other day that just sums it up, and it's about, this picture was taken about a block and a half from where my office is. Which is over in a part of town called the Arts District. And it's, it's between downtown and the Strip and the Stratosphere. And there's a photo of a guy, he's walking along the street, which is a pedestrian thoroughfare. And he's walking down the street, and he's got a dog on a leash. He's wearing a very nice, clean, bright red Trump hat, and he's carrying a rifle. Yeah, a month or two ago, I saw a guy on a horse. You know, I'm not in the sticks. I'm in town. So I just have to tell you, these are funny observations from the ground level here in the Southern Nevada desert. So what a week. I saw the slugfest on Tuesday night, and that was just a spectacular show. I've been saying it now for a while. I said, you know, Joe Biden, don't count him out. And most importantly, I don't necessarily get, now there's this movement right now. A number of my colleagues on the right are sponsoring chaos in the Democratic primary in South Carolina in hopes, right, they're all, Trump's got he's got the nomination. So a bunch of pro-Trump Republicans apparently are setting to vote for Sanders in the primary in South Carolina. And the thinking goes, right, that you got to get Sanders the nomination, but he's the guy that Trump can beat. And I want to unpackage that today a little bit, because I think there's some degree of flawed thinking here. I personally, in the debate, was rooting for Joe Biden. And I'll tell you why. I want Joe to get some traction right now. I don't want to see Bernie Sanders running away with this thing too easily, although it's probably likely he will be the nominee. We want, right, our side of this, we want a contest that delivers a lot of bruises and draws a lot of blood. You know, we don't want Bernie to stitch this up anytime soon. And so I saw this debate, and I thought Biden woke up. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he did a lot of amphetamines, or if he just decided that this was the primal fight of his political life. But the guy got up on stage, and he fought. The problem is, that the Democratic Party is no longer Joe Biden's Democratic Party. The problem is that the voters out there, especially the ones that participate in the primary process, the party faithful, the we'll call them the politically active class, are far more left than the Democratic Party has ever been. And certainly you go back 20, 30 years and, you know, the main thrust of Joe Biden's political career, this was a party that was basically conservative compared to how it looks today. During that slugfest, right, just as the debate was going on, we got some news that AOC did exactly what I have been telling you would happen, that Nancy Pelosi feared happening, which is why we had this whole impeachment sham in the first place. And that is that AOC has started a little PAC, a political action committee, a group of like-minded socialist nutjobs. And they are out there supporting a number of Democratic, socialist Democrat candidates in primary contests. Several of those are aiming their sights on Democratic incumbents. This is a shot across the bow. It's more than that. It's a severed horse head delivered to the chambers of Madame Pelosi. Remember, I always said, we talked about the impeachment, and people know Pelosi, right, for whatever she is a strategic thinker. And I explained that her strategy in all of this was to create a sideshow that proved, or at least persuaded somewhat, the radical elements of the base of the Democratic Party. I'm not going to say her base, but of the Democratic Party, that Nancy Pelosi and House leadership was on board with getting rid of the president, because this is what the radical leftists want. They wanted this. They need a Trump scalp. And so Pelosi knew this whole thing was futile and knew it wasn't going to go anywhere, but wanted this very much as window dressing for her left-wing bona fides. She needed this at a critical time going into the primaries to protect her House members. And wouldn't you know it, because it all blew up in her face, well, meaning, of course, that the impeachment didn't go anywhere, the Senate thankfully, mercifully, euthanized the impeachment saga. And here we are. It's not dragging on. It's over. It's a distant memory. And AOC is coming out swinging. Make no mistake, this is huge. The political fight right now, the media, if you watch the news, the media is framing this as a fight between, I don't know, us and Trump. That's how they're framing it. We know we're, you know, we don't agree with that. But of course, they see it. Trump versus normal people. It's not like that. The real fight here, and you see it, right? You see it right now in the Democratic primaries. The fight is between Bernie Sanders, who represents, it is actually a communist. He represents socialism. He is a guy who legitimately sympathizes with Fidel Castro. He is a guy who visited extensively the Soviet Union when it was at the peak of some of its most ruthless times, and then returned here and was a puppet of that regime. And to hear him on stage yelling about Trump being Putin's puppet is laughable. If the economy, if we turned over executive power and authority to this schmuck, I promise you this country would be down in the tubes. Well, quicker than your 401k would like. And so it's fascinating to me. You look at a guy like Joe Biden. Yes, he's fighting for his life. Yes, he's got, I think today Joe Clyburn came out and endorsed him officially. And so you've got some good things happening for Joe, but it's the party faithful, the base has left him, and isolated in the middle between these wacko leftist nut jobs and then Trump are the Democratic Party remnants, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden. And these are people in, they are in political no man's land. They're almost like a man without a country. They don't have a party anymore. And this race in 2020 is fascinating because it's really not about whether Trump's going to get elected. I think, barring this coronavirus getting tremendously out of hand and our economy tanking, I think Trump's got it in the bag. The more I see any of those candidates arguing among one another, the more I realize that none of those have what it takes to take on Trump. But it's certainly a fascinating mess. And at the result of all of this, the result here will be, I think, a wipeout of the Democratic majority in Congress and in the Senate. I imagine the implications of Bernard Sanders on the ballot versus Trump. And now imagine all of those moderate blue dog Democrats who are fighting to keep their brand new congressional seats that they won, they won 2 years ago by a hair, many of them literally by 700, 800, 1,000 votes. And they have now, in districts that voted in 2016 for Trump, are going to vote for Trump again in 2020. Are aligned with Nancy Pelosi on one side, who represents impeachment, which now becomes the double-edged sword. She used it to help her against her base. But to the centrists and to the Trumpists, it's not a good look. It's not a value add. And then, of course, all the people that are voting for Trump will flood the polls, who didn't go out and vote necessarily for some congressional candidate they didn't give two rips about in 2018. So this is very fascinating stuff. And I predict some serious political upheaval. OK, coronavirus is a factor in all of this. I just mentioned it. Yeah. Are you panicking yet? Have you gone to the store? The wife was at Costco today and told me that the line was out of this world. So apparently people are in line and they are absolutely out and about. They're getting all their provisions and stocking up. But I'll contrast that with something I saw last weekend. And I was back in Orange County. And in Orange County, there's a shopping center called South Coast Plaza. And South Coast Plaza, those of you from the area know it. It's a very high-end shopping center. And apparently for the past, I don't know, a month or so, they have really been struggling with traffic. They have not been able to get people into the store. How do I put this nicely? A lot of people from Asia visit the shopping center and shop there. A lot of people from mainland China specifically. So it's apparently has been a ghost town. Now, when I say has been and apparently, it was to my great shock. I showed up and there were more people at this mall lined up. And I guess what the mall did, you'll see where I'm going with the story. What the mall did is they said, if you spend, I don't know, $3,000 or $4,000, some big amount of money, if you spend it, you get like $500 gift certificate. And so. People mobbed the mall. I mean, so when people tell you the economy's tanking and that the world is ending and that the virus is going to wipe us all out, I just want to tell you that as of days ago, people were willing to risk their lives for $500. And more importantly, they're perfectly willing to lay $3,000 or $4,000 down to get $500 back. So my takeaway from that little example is that certainly the economy right now, there's some people out there have money. And also, I don't know, when push comes to shove, we're not perceiving it yet to be a real risk. I'll give you more on this and a great clip from the coronavirus press conference at the White House. Trump truly outdid himself with this one. You will love it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Hi, it's Sam.
Hey, it's Ash, and we're Sam and Ash, your personal injury attorneys.
If you've been injured in an accident, don't talk to an insurance agent or claims adjuster. Talk to us.
Look, the insurance company's job is to deny your injuries, and that's because paying you what's fair costs them money.
We will get you the compensation you deserve. It's what's right.
So visit us at samandash.com.
Samandash.com. Sam and Ash.
Because you deserve what's right.
You know, Trump really, if he ends up getting booted from the White House in 4.5 years, I think he ought to consider a try at comedy. So they did a Wednesday press conference about the virus, you know, and Trump's been really, apparently there's some criticism floating around about it. Surprise, surprise. That he seemed like he was just, I don't know, using a lot of words to say nothing. But you got to understand, right, what Trump is trying to do is he's making sure that we don't burn ourselves to the ground over a lot of unnecessary fear. You know, Trump is, in his way, urging restraint and doing exactly what a president ought to be doing. And for all of those people out there who criticize him for being a reckless child, bull in a china shop, he's demonstrating, at least to me, he's demonstrating an ability to be quite presidential. So he's in this press conference. He had a series of CDC people, and really the takeaway, and I believe this myself, is that it's a bad flu, and somewhere between 12 and 60,000 Americans die each year of the flu. A lot of people die of the flu. And so we have to just keep this in perspective that this could be a very, very bad flu season, but not something that will wipe us off the planet. Here is Trump, however, giving us all a friendly tip about how we should prevent the spread of germs.
I think you have to always, you know, I do it a lot anyway, as you probably heard. Wash your hands, stay clean. You don't have to necessarily grab every handrail unless you have to. You know, you do certain things that you do when you have the flu. I mean, view this the same as the flu. When somebody sneezes, I mean, I try and bail out as much as possible with the sneezing. I had a man come up to me a week ago. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I said, how you doing? He said, fine, fine. He hugs me, kiss. I said, are you well? He says, no. He said, I have the worst fever and the worst flu. And he's hugging and kissing me. So I said, excuse me. I went there and started washing my hands. So you have to do that. You know, this is, I really think, doctor, you want to treat this like you treat the flu, right? And, you know, it's going to be.
I mean, have you been to China? The place is filthy. It is, again, I feel I'm picking on the Chinese today. But no, it's not a country known for outstanding hygiene. So hygiene is a part of this. And being susceptible is another part of this, right? I haven't heard of too many people who are in perfect health, who are in their mid-40s, 30s, 50s, whatnot, who are dropping dead of this thing. So, at any rate, now I absolutely love that Elizabeth Warren, in her town hall, has a solution for how we handle the coronavirus. Mind you, I'll give you the Democratic Party sneak peek. You got to understand the mind of the liberal to get at this. So guess anytime there is a crisis of any kind, you have to understand most politicians and many Republicans, guilty of this too, see an opportunity for a money grab. And the money grab, by the way, is all about power, because every politician, the more that they spend, that they distribute of our hard-earned tax dollars to various pet projects and agencies, the more power they have. You know, you have customers, right? Because whatever the accounts you work on or business that you have, and when you give business to a customer of yours, your customer gets gets very happy and whatnot. It's the same way with government. If I'm the CDC and the Democratic majority in Congress start handing out billions of dollars, well, I'm going to get real excited about that. So it's with that that Warren is figuring out how to hand out candy money. I'm sorry. And this is her plan.
So this one is tough. So the way I think about this is, first, we think about allocation, kind of our overall approach. Oh. I'm going to be introducing a plan tomorrow to take every dime that the president is now spending on his racist wall at our southern border and divert it to work on the coronavirus.
Yes, by all means, let's not build the wall that keeps people we maybe are not sure about from coming into this country. By all means, let's open up the borders. Oh, and take that money and spend it on what, pray tell? Probably some more bureaucrats you can play bridge with and trade fake Indian stories on evenings. I don't know where. Anyway, some coffee shop somewhere sipping lattes. This is great stuff. All right, I'll get into the Castro Sanders bit here when we come back, because I think this is, I really think this is shocking and something we have to talk about this. I certainly would never want this man to become president. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
Sam Rogowski. Let me do that again. No, I got it. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. On the Sam Nation Radio Network, making radio great again. Okay. I know I've been picking on China. So I will switch gears here and add to my hygiene list Florida. The winner, the circle of winners here. Well, Florida gets a lot of a bum rap. There are a lot of really great stories. And this, I think, in light of Trump's advice to us that we all wash our hands and avoid close physical contact with people who may have flu-like symptoms, comes a story from a hospital, a Florida hospital worker in Fort Myers. The facility is called Gulf Coast Hospital. I guess a hospital worker there named France Belderin, a 23-year-old man, was arrested for allegedly sucking on a patient's toes while on duty. Now, the person, the victim here, was lying in a hospital bed. It was late at night, woke up. Can you imagine? Just imagine for a minute this happening to you. Woke up, and this worker is sucking on his toe. That's just awful. So we will add, this is where Trump really failed. He did not mention, he specifically failed to mention sucking on people's toes as a source of transmission for this awful disease. So we'll add that to the list. All right, the Sanders controversy with Cuba. Where do I begin on this? Well, it probably should go back. Those of you who did not catch the original source of this, the font, the very moment, the creation of this story came from a sit-down that Bernie Sanders had with Chris Cuomo on CNN Town Hall. This was on Monday. And Chris Cuomo basically asks, you know, let's take this one more step down, talking about stigma that's coming from some of your fellow Democrats. You said on 60 Minutes this weekend, it's unfair to say that everything's bad with the way Fidel Castro ruled in Cuba. And he goes on, this is Chris Cuomo. Now, Democratic members of Congress who represent Cuban Americans in Florida, obviously you've got a win there. They're attacking your comment as absolutely unacceptable. Now, let me just interject, by the way. You love how the left has to put everybody in a category. And they're just, it's for the left, it's all about pandering to different groups of people, adding them up in the vote column. Lip service. And this is Bernie Sanders' response.
The response was when Fidel Castro first came to power, which was when? 59? Does that sound right?
59, 60.
Okay. You know what he did? He initiated a major literacy program. There was a lot of folks in Cuba at that point who were literate. And he formed the Literacy Brigade. You may read that. He went out and they helped people learn to read and write. You know what? I think teaching people to read and write is a good thing.
I will put on a little bit of a history hat here for you. And it's very difficult for us as Americans to understand the brutality and the horror that is a hardline communist regime like the one in Cuba. These literacy brigades, by the way, I don't think a lot of people realize this. These literacy brigades, were ostensibly to teach people how to read and write, but they were really indoctrination brigades. The people that taught this were revolutionaries. And those that didn't, well, it wasn't about reading. It was about reading it right. If you didn't follow the script, if you didn't buy into the BS that these commies were pushing, violence would ensue. Arrests were made. Lives were lost. You know, I actually believe, truly believe, the worst part about Bernie Sanders is that he's not stupid. And he knows these things. But to him and to many of his kind on the left, the violence, the oppression, the brutality of the Soviet state, of Cuba, Vietnam, China, right? They love it. They love authoritarianism. When they criticize Trump about how he wants to be the Putin, the statist, all this stuff, right? It's projection. It is coming from a place where they desire that power as well. More, not as well. They're the ones that want that type of power and authority because their desire is truly to reorder our society. And it's not, by the way, a society that becomes better for any of the people that stupidly are following this crap. Communism makes everyone poorer. Communism is the biggest wealth killer this world has ever seen. And in its wake is a total destruction of everyone and anything except for the political class. And you've heard me, those of you who are longtime listeners, have heard me talk about this. And so, well, we got to take a quick break, but I will. This is the setup, right? This is what happened. This is what Sanders was saying, and he's sticking with it. And in the Democratic debate, it got brought up again. Thank goodness. And I'll play for you what happened, and then I'll tell you what I think about it. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Hi, it's Sam.
Hey, it's Ash, and we're Sam and Ash, your personal injury attorneys.
An accident is incredibly stressful. Handling an insurance claim totally overwhelming.
Also, insurance companies have zero interest in giving their money to you because that just cuts into their profits.
Our team is in your corner because you deserve what's right, and that's full compensation for your injuries.
So visit us 24/7 at samandash.com.
Sam and Ash.
Because you deserve what's right.
Oh, Bernard Sanders. So on the debate stage Tuesday night, he gets hammered about Cuba, and he immediately begins with his defense. Let's just get right to the clip here. This is Bernie Sanders trying to backtrack a little bit on what he had said on Chris Cuomo.
What I said is what Barack Obama said in terms of Cuba, that Cuba made progress on education. Yes, I think, really? Really?
Yes, literacy
programs
no
are bad. What Barack Obama said is they made great progress on education and health care. That was Barack Obama.
Ah, now you hear, did you hear Buttigieg in the background? Buttigieg was keen to insert himself into any opening he could in the conversation. By the way, this is not what Barack Obama said. Barack Obama was making excuses for Cuba at the point in time that he was making a case for why we should open up our diplomatic relations with Cuba in the here and now, or I would say, you know, five years ago. He was speaking of Cuba in present day. Well, and then exactly, and there was a free market at stake, opening up trade, commercial activity, Airbnb, so forth and so on. So Sanders, for all of his rhetoric about Trump being a liar, he's a liar. No, he's like, you know what? You're full of crap yourself. And again, I've heard so many excuses for his apologies given to, or excuses given to Cuba and to the Soviet Union. And the excuses for Bernie are, you know, he means well. Yeah, I have to tell you something about that, because it is in fact true historically that there are two types of communists. The good ones are the dead ones. Just kidding. But somewhat true. No, there's the communist that is the dupe, right? He's the guy that he just really believes it, right? He's ideologically, he is on that train. And by the way, those are the people that oftentimes become, if they're smart enough, when they wake up out of it, they either fall into a Great Depression and don't recover, or they become, you know, great conservatives. Right. They become disenchanted. But the other type of communist, and I'm coming to you with a bit of history in this, with my parents having been born and raised in what used to be Czechoslovakia. Now, and experienced the 50s. Right. Joseph Stalin was not a great time. The other type of communist is the cynic. Right. The guy, he is in it for the power, for the glory. And he is a ruthless political animal. And I'm going to tell you something about Sanders. Sanders is not a true believer in the sense that he's just all about looking at picking flowers up in the blowing dandelions and dreaming on his sheets covered in, I don't know, hammers and sickles. I don't know. Anyway. Sanders is a guy who cynically exploited the political system his entire life. This is a guy who is preaching on one hand, you know, this nonsense about how he's going to help every poor person on the planet. But him and his wife, that whole story about the community college that they basically, I don't want to say, I mean, they violated that poor school and literally drove it into ruin. They did it at the expense of students and their student loans. Cashed in millions of dollars. The Sanders, Bernard, and his wife are exactly the kind of communist, plural, that have done great harm to my families and countless others. Because they're the kind of communists that use their power, use their influence, use their position within the government for their own rapacious well-being at the expense of the rest of us. And as they attack capitalism, which is not admittedly perfect, but is the closest thing to a meritocracy that we have, where people can work themselves up from nothing, where people can do great things, where people can, to the extent that the right and left will let them in this country, be independent, sovereign beings, is the best system we have. But that's a system that a guy like Bernie Sanders cannot survive in, because without the political power, he's a nothing. He's zero. He's just a crank sitting in the corner of the room spouting drivel. And the only thing that truly worries me about Sanders is the amount of young people that are buying it. And I would say the only reason for that is that we don't teach history anymore. We teach social studies, whatever hell that is. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rogowski. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Yeah, so bringing this back to South Carolina, to the primaries, to the race for the Democratic nomination, I'm going to tell you, be very concerned and skeptical about any absolute certain proclamations that Sanders has this thing, you know, wrapped up. Well, I know that in that debate, the audience in the debate is filled with people that paid to get there. And so the fact that they were booing Sanders is not representative of the electoral public that's voting in that race. Now, it's also an open primary. And so a number of Republicans are going to be switching over and voting for Sanders. I don't think that's the best move. Like I said earlier, I think it's better to keep Biden alive and on life support as long as possible. But I Biden's going to take this thing. And the other observation I have, it's in response to a number of bad takes by some very smart people over the last few weeks. I've had a number of people tell me that I cannot. They're saying, Sam, you have to understand what spending the kind of money that Bloomberg is spending can do. Because I'll say, look, the man has no charisma. The man has no. What's his branding? Right. What's his position? Where is he? He's the Biden replacement with none of the charm and none of the. I don't know. He's okay. He's an older Buttigieg. He's not Bernie. I think right now, from where I can tell, his position mainly is that he's not Bernie. My friend kept saying, no, but you got to understand, the guy is prepared to drop $500 million in cold hard cash. I said, well, look, I know something about dropping money on advertising. A lot of people do it. And they do it in my business and not always successfully. So it's a little bit more than that. He's up against a guy, Trump, okay? Because Mike Bloomberg sees himself as you know, this is the matchup. This is how he delivers a win for the Democrats. You got to pick me. That's his pitch. Pick me, and I am the guy that can beat Trump. I know they're all saying it, but that's Mike's big pitch. But Trump is the argument. Don't let anybody ever tell you that it's this tremendous thing that Bloomberg has hundreds of millions of dollars to spend on advertising. Because Trump is the guy that gets free advertising, gets free media time just by showing up and doing a rally and having it be wildly entertaining. He gets the same amount of media for free by virtue of just being the president. He gets tongues wagging by typing out a tweet. And I've been following Bloomberg's Twitter, who's probably got 100 social media consultants. I mean, he's probably got the biggest and best wordsmiths out there. And the stuff he's putting out is just not jazzy. It's tepid. It's canned. So I just don't see that going anywhere. But it's certainly causing a lot of consternation and heartburn for Bernie. So I'm okay with that. And of course, Elizabeth Warren, who just cannot let it go, even though I don't see her getting a lot of traction in South Carolina either. So it's really going to be Biden's going to have some life breathed into him early next week. It's going to be good. And then I will unpackage all of this and where it continues from there when we get back here a week from today. So that's it. We got a show in the can once again. I appreciate you all. Thank you. You're a great audience. Please continue to write me. I love getting your emails. I respond when I can. Sam@samnation.com. Hit me up on Twitter @samnation. I do a lot of hot takes during the week. Some of them, most of them pretty good, I think. So follow me there. Love you guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy. Be safe. And God bless America. Keep on walking.